You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
One of the best guests we have on the college football scene will be joining us, Ari Wasserman from The Athletic. It's always good to check in with Ari, even though basketball season is heading toward its most important stretch. College football never ends. This is from Ari. Dion, Kirby. Who are the next wave of CFB or CFB villains and heroes? Ari, always good to have you on. Thanks for the time, and let's get right to it. So I saw Dion on TV the other day with another book. We know about Kirby Smart. Kind of take us through your thinking on the villains and the heroes as we begin our interview. Good afternoon.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on, Paul. Always appreciate you. Yeah, so when Nick Saban got up last week and spoke on Capitol Hill about NIL and, you know, the changes of our sport, you know, everybody listened. He's not the head coach at Alabama anymore, but everybody listened. Everybody had an opinion, whether he's, you know, onto something or if he's right or, you know, he got paid a lot during his career, so he's a hypocrite, blah, blah, blah. And it got me thinking, with Nick Saban out of the picture now, who I think that now that he's gone, we can all agree is the greatest college football coach of all time. And Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers, it's like, who are the characters of our sport? Like, who are the people that are going to drive interest and, you know, have the country rooting for them or against them and are going to drive storylines every time they open their mouth? So that's what kind of got this idea kicked off. And we talked about it a little bit on the podcast. And I tried to encapsulate that a little bit in a written form, but I got to tell you, Paul, that it was much harder to find heroes than it would be villains in this scenario. And I think you can make a case for every hero also being a villain as well. So we can go through the list here and we can talk it through. And
yeah, I've got a couple of names I want to throw at you. I mean, Dion, I think, has been hashed out. I think we all understand his story. Lincoln Riley is interesting. Once a very popular guy at Oklahoma, he owned L.A. for about a minute. What's going on with him?
Yeah, he's an interesting case study because he was kind of the first person who left the way that he did during the NIL era. And it's just kind of an interesting dichotomy. Every single time you talk about a coach leaving for a job, it always relates back to, well, how do the players get compensated and why can coaches leave with impunity and not players and blah, blah, blah. But when Lincoln Riley left Oklahoma, he left out of the blue. I remember I was shopping at the mall with my wife when it happened and we had to come home. And it happened when you don't really see coaches who are at perceived destination jobs hop out of the, you know, blue when things are going well to another place that could be perceived as a step down in terms of, you know, program stature. And when he did that, you know, obviously the entire Oklahoma fan base went nuts, and rightfully so. But then you go and you take the quarterback with you, and that's the new world of college football. You know, hate it or love it, that's where we live. But now you have this person who's on the West Coast at a USC program that many of us grew up resenting because they were so good. And the notion that USC's, like, whole aura from the Pete Carroll days was going to return, and, like, the Batman from Oklahoma who left in the middle of the night and took their best asset with them was going to bring them back. I think there's a lot of college football fans out there that even if they're not an Oklahoma fan can resonate with how much that probably hurt Oklahoma fans and the way that he handled it. And, you know, coaches are always going to act and say certain things and act a certain way when they're in press conferences talking about jobs. But there was just something about the way he left Oklahoma that just felt a little extra, you know, dirty. And I'm not saying he did anything wrong. I would have done the same thing. But in terms of just the way he's perceived from the natural fan, now that they're stinking again and their defenses stink, I think that there is this like little extra oomph to him that kind of has his. He doesn't speak much, but you know what I mean.
Another guy, and I'll leave him to the end of the question, and I could use stronger language, but what in the world happened to Dabo Swinney? He used to own the world. He used to be popular, respected. And I'm not saying he's not, but he is polarizing.
Yeah, no, there's no question. And the thing that's interesting about Dabo is that, and I think I wrote this in the story, but he's had a long enough and successful enough college career now that he kind of had like a Breaking Bad Walter White type character arc, where at the beginning of his Clemson tenure, he was like this lovable, happy-go-lucky coach that everybody was rooting for. And then, you know, by the time that Breaking Bad ended, he turned into a villain, even if some people are still rooting for him. Well, most people did. And I think what happened with Dabo is that he did something that I think he'll always have my respect for, which is turning a program from good to the elite of the elite. You don't really see that happen very often, if ever, in college football. But in the time since they've won their last two championships, you know, he's always been somebody who puts his foot in his mouth, but he has this tendency to speak, even if his heart's in the right place, and say things that are inevitably going to rub everybody the wrong way. And, you know, inherently, right or wrong, I don't know, you know, if somebody's listening to this as a religious person or not, he speaks about God a lot. And again, right or wrong, there's a segment of fans that just don't like that. So, you know, his stance on the NIL situation, his stance on the transfer portal, the way that he speaks in press conferences, the breakdown that he had last year when that crazy caller called him in and questioned whether or not he was, you know, qualified for the job that he had. Like, Dabo Swinney is a very polarizing person, and I think that if you polled college football fans, even though I believe he's a good person and with his heart in the right place, I do think that he drives a certain level of error from people that you don't really get at most coaches or get from most coaches.
Ari, you mentioned Kirby. I mean, he's, I don't know if even with all his winning, I think people feel pretty good about him. But the guy that generates more conversation in this space that we work in than anyone, and I'm really curious exactly why, other than a so-called good Twitter game, and I think everybody can guess, I'm going toward Lane Kiffin here.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Lane, are there any other coaches in the sport right now that have had a career that he's had in terms of being the young hotshot who went to a place and left in the middle of the night and then went to another place and got fired on the tarmac of an airport and then went to play or coach for Alabama and redid his career and then went back to FAU and now he's at Ole Miss? And like, if there's any storyline that can encapsulate a coach, I'm sure like Lane Kiffin fits into that Venn diagram somewhere. And the reason why I have him on the list as a hero is that he has actually gone the anti-Dabo route, I think. I think people hated him at the beginning because I think a lot of people just don't like younger people who get big jobs too soon before they perceive that they deserve it. Not that he did or didn't, but that was the perception. And then he, you know, wasn't very successful in the stops that he had. Then he went and grew up a lot. I think he would even tell you that. And now is at an Ole Miss program that, frankly, might be maybe the top three team in the SEC going into next year with the portal work that they did. So, you know, he walks this tightrope of tweeting funny about NIL. And, you know, he always has an opinion about, you know, whether, you know, college football's turned on the NFL or not. He's always very opinionated about it. But at the same time, he's able to acknowledge those weird idiosyncrasies of our sport in the NIL era while also taking part in it fully while he's waiting for the rules to change for probably the better. And like, I just think that when you think about who's like a funny head coach, like Lane Kiffin is probably the only one that you could say is actually just a funny guy. So like he's in the eye of the storm, the SEC. He has a lot of opinions about NIL. His team is obviously using it they went all in this offseason somehow, right? And I just think that people think he's funny, from the play sheet to the Joey Freshwater to all the stuff that has happened in his career. I don't really hear a lot of people like, God, I hate Lane Kiffin, but maybe I'm wrong about that too.
Finally, you mentioned Lanning, you mentioned a couple other names, and I realize you've just researched this and written it, but can you look a little bit down the road? I mean, are there any emerging villains that you feel are worth identifying?
Yeah, villains is a good one. I mean, like, honestly, you know, I know you mentioned that I had Lanning in the hero era. But like Lanning could be a huge villain. No, like it's the way that he acts, in the way that he, you know, had that little performance before the Colorado game last year about rooted in substance, not flash. Today we talk with our pads, not in our helmets. We're doing this for wins, not clicks. You know, he smoked a cigar on social media after a really exciting national signing day about 14 months ago. Like if Oregon ever got to a place where they were really, really good, and he continued to behave that way, I think that he would become the villain of the sport. And, you know, I think that he's already kind of bordering on that, because when you look at, you know, this offseason and all the crazy moves that we saw in the coaching carousel, I think there was a large segment of people that resented the notion that he, of all people at Oregon, should have been the main candidate, or at least one most discussed for some of these big time openings. And really, the thing that people really don't like, and I get this a lot as somebody who covers recruiting extensively, of, you know, if you're a really good recruiter, but you don't win anything, then that's like their number one punching bag. And Dan Lanning, for as well as he has done at Oregon, has failed to win the big game both times against Washington last year. And, you know, he's just not over the hump yet. So if Oregon becomes this NIL monster with the Nike money behind it and this big West Coast prominent Big Ten team now who starts winning stuff in the Big Ten, and then Dan Lanning continues to kind of put himself out there in very controversial and lovable right now ways, I could really see the sport starting to cling to him as, you know, somebody who can, you know, be this this person or this role. Like, and when you look at like last year, and you think about Jim Harbaugh and the place that he had in the sport between the rule breaking last year and the way that he acted during it, and just his general temperament during press conferences throughout his entire career, like there was nobody easier to dislike or to root against than Jim Harbaugh. And then he wins the national championship and leaves. And whether you love Michigan or hate Michigan, I think we have to acknowledge that there's a major void in our sport right now when it comes to personalities like that that move the needle. So it'll be fun to see how this all plays out. And here's another one. What if Kalen DeBoer just picks up right where Nick Saban left off? I mean, he's like the nicest guy I've ever met, and down to earth, and knows how to win, and is gracious, and all the things that you could say that are nice about a person. But can Alabama being great turn somebody into a villain alone? Because Nick Saban's no villain to me, but there's a lot of people who didn't like him because he won a lot. So those are two I would probably keep my eyes on for the future.
Ari Wasserman with The Athletic. Ari, I'm just glad you can find this to coaches as opposed to talk show hosts who cover college football. Appreciate it.
I'll give you a break today.
Thank you. Great to have you on. Ari Wasserman from The Athletic. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls straight around the corner.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We had the bracket out earlier. We'll replay that in a minute. We also have we're doing a little bit of a list of who are the most notable snubs. I've got my own list. Remember JFT, that's Jim from Tuscaloosa, for those of you who don't know Feinbaum lexicon. He withdrew. He would have been a number one seed, so he took himself out. But some of the other snubs are Jerome, who hasn't called in a long time. Jeff from Columbus, who's just as obnoxious, and that's why he's not in. Elliot from Ohio, who has called and remains one of the more obnoxious callers. Biggest snub, I think, so far. Had a couple of Will from North Carolina didn't make it. I thought he should. Who else? Daryl from Columbus. I don't know the politics of that, but that feels like a snub. But to me, the biggest snub of the tournament from an active caller who plays a fairly regular role on the show, and I think you can tell by me criticizing the committee, I did not participate. That is for plausible deniability, but it's also the fact that a lot of this was done last week while I was in Nashville. The biggest snub, I think, was Johnny B. How did he get left out? I don't know. The committee chairman has refused all interviews so far. Stella is up next. Good afternoon. Stella. I feel like I'm in a Tennessee Williams play. Stella, are you there?
Huh?
Hey there.
Who are you calling?
Stella. That's you, I hope.
That it is.
Stella, are you talking or are you yelling?
Well, do you want me just to talk?
Well, no, I don't care. You do whatever you want. I just wanted to make sure you could hear me.
Yes.
And Stella, where in Tennessee are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling you from Dresden, Tennessee. Probably about 8 miles from Martin UTM.
Oh, sure. I know where Martin is.
Okay.
Well, it's really good to have you on, Stella.
Okay. Well, I appreciate getting on. I watch the show every single day.
Well, thank you.
I am one of the biggest sports fans you'll ever know. Hold
okay.
on just a second.
Yeah, okay. Don't let us get in your way. Stella calling us from right outside of Martin, Tennessee. Stella, is there something going on there that is getting in the way of our phone call here?
No, sweetheart. I'm right here. This is the first time I've ever made it through, so I really actually don't know what I'm doing.
Well, Stella, let me help you for a second. You are doing pretty much what everybody who calls in this show does. And
okay, well,
you don't have to have a speech. You just, it's like calling one of your neighbors.
Oh, honey,
you just call in and say, hey,
honey,
you want to come over here? We got some coffee cake.
Okay, I don't have any of that stuff. I've just got something I want to talk to you about.
Well, Stella, tell me this. You're a sports fan. Who's you live in Tennessee, but you live in West Tennessee, though. Are you a Tennessee fan? Are you a fan of somewhere else?
I am a big Tennessee fan, and why I'm calling,
okay.
I have never been so heartbroken as I was when I saw every big team that we had, you know, as far as going through the big dance, every one of them threw their games. And I'm not for that. That was a crock. And the reason I know is because I sit and watch every game,
Stella, let me help you. I was at that game Friday, and I wouldn't read too much into that. Tennessee's got a chance to right the wrongs of Nashville. And in the end, that game may not mean anything. But thank you for calling for the very first time. First time's always tough. Trey is up next.
Yes, sure it is. Hey, Paul, I was going to call in last week and kind of address the gym situation, but you had all that other stuff going on. So I'd like to have a minute or two to say some things, if I may. And since Jim loves to quote Baba quote so much, I'd like to start off with one and end one, if you don't may. Jim, you therefore have no excuse who you pass judgment on someone else. For whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself. because you pass judgment, you do the same things. Now I'm going to address something about Jim said about me being straight or gay, Paul. I lost my wife back in 2016. She passed away. And I don't have to explain anything else after that, but I did want to address that. Now I want to address Jim.
But Trey, let me offer this, and I don't know if we knew each other back then. But
yes.
But I am sorry. I did not know that, and I'm terribly sorry to have learned that now. And maybe we talked about it, but the idea that you have to defend yourself is simply absurd because you don't have to.
I'm not finished. I understand that, and I'm not going to, but I will say this about Jim, and I don't think you, any caller, I believe I will be 99.9% right. Not one caller would disagree with me when I say this about Jim. Jim, you're like my drill sergeant used to tell me. You are a capital Q-U-I-T-T-E-R. You are a quitter. When things get tough for you, you quit. And I know when you call this show back in, you'll scream and holler and call me names and everything else, and that's okay. I will never be called the things that I was called in boot camp at 17 years old. And, Paul, I'm going to use one of his most famous quotes. Paul, you know that I know that we all know, and you know that we know, and I know that I'm right. And I'm going to end it with one more Bible quote. Do not judge, or you too shall be judged, for the same way you judge others. You will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Thank you, Paul, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get into trivialize the Bible, but certainly that is a commentary that many think about on this show when somebody quotes the Bible while attacking another person. Let's check out Jordan up next. Hello, Jordan. Jordan, you're not over at Stella's house, are you? Hey, Jordan, go right ahead. Yeah, he might be at Stella's house. And for that, we are thinking about him immensely. Let me try one more call here. We don't want to... Swamp Dog. Did he make the field either? I don't know. Swamp Dog is another snub.
Thank you for that, Paul. I appreciate you saying that about me. I've been trying to call a lot lately.
I think will this sound crazy, Swamp Dog? I don't want to sound like some other talk show host who attacks the hand that feeds him. But you know what? Yeah. I realize that this is, what is it? Can we, what is this thing called, Jamari? Is it the Feinbaum caller bracket? Okay. I mean, would this be wrong of me to have my own bracket, even though my name is on the caller bracket? I am thinking about denouncing my own bracket because you are one of the snubs on there that I am not happy about.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. And I just got one thing I want to say about non-Sabinitis disease.
Okay.
You know what that is.
Yeah.
And you established the Sabinitis and the non-Sabinitis. I told you non-Sabinitis is life without Nick Saban. Okay. Remind the Alabama fan that Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
That he was not Jimmy Johnson. He didn't have to be Jimmy Johnson. And Caleb DeBoer is at Alabama. He don't have to be Nick Saban. He's not Nick Saban. But he can win a championship with Alabama. Does that make a pretty good analogy to you?
I mean, I think that was absolutely brilliant, Swamp Dog, and I'm in your debt. Hey, thank you very much. We head to the break. What an afternoon this has already been. We're not done yet. We still have 90 minutes remaining, and we'll get to your phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, just reflecting back on an amazing week. Bobby Bones there was so much fun. Jordan Davis, big LSU fan, country music star. It's endless the number of country music people I ran into in Nashville. And they don't want to talk about country music. They want to talk about SEC football and basketball. Let's get back to the calls. And Rob in Tennessee. Hey, Rob, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Paul, I want to thank you for always being very complimentary of Nashville. I live just right outside of Nashville, and sounds like you had a good time last
week. Yeah, no, it's amazing, Rob, and I don't want to sound like everybody else because I've been going to Nashville my whole life, but I remember when Nashville was just a small little city on the way to Memphis.
Yes. what I wanted to ask you about, unfortunately for Billy Napier, I think the schedule Florida has this year is going to do him in. And I've been thinking for quite a while, Lane Kiffin would be the perfect fit for Florida. Much like Brian Kelly reached his ceiling at Notre Dame, I think Lane's reaching his ceiling at Ole Miss. I think if he could win 10 games at Ole Miss, he could certainly win 12 at Florida. What do you think about that?
It's interesting that you bring that up. Hey, thank you. Lane Kiffin grew up a son of a coach, but he also his hero growing up was Steve Spurrier, and that's the biggest name in the history of Florida football. So I don't know what Florida is going to do with Billy Napier. What they can't do is quiet the conversation down. Thank you very much for the call. Gary in Wyoming. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I know it's March Madness and that topic's been out, but I wanted to ask you a question about when Nick was testifying before Congress on the NIL and the situation and all the topics that emerged after he retired. I want to ask you a question, and I do have an opinion about this.
Sure.
Did you ever talk to him about, did he ever feel a little responsible about the emergence of college football and how much more money oriented it was? Because mine, I think the world of Nick Saban, I think he's the best of all coaches. I truly do. But the one thing that bothered me is when he come to Alabama, he had a pretty shiny contract back in 2007. And if I were playing football for a coach that was earning that much money and I was working my tail off and seeing how he was benefiting, it'd lead me to think a little bit about it.
Gary, let me try to attack that a couple of different ways. Number one, I am, you know, being in Nashville, I got away from it for a couple of days, but I'm a little surprised. People I respect who have not said this publicly, but they have communicated to me privately, they're surprised by what Saban said, not only in front of the Ted Cruz committee. And I want to make it clear, he did not, technically he didn't appear in front of Congress. Cruz had I don't even know how to describe what they were doing there. It was like a round table conversation, which we've talked about. Saban also appeared on Fox News the other night, which I've heard a lot about. And In terms of the conversations I've had with Nick Saban over the years, I've never heard him talk about his own money. He's always Saban's not the easiest person to get him to talk about Nick Saban. He is that is not one of his favorite topics. He likes to talk about everything but himself, so that's never come up. I know very convincingly how unhappy he's been with NIL. He has always talked a good game when he had to, but now you're getting the real Nick Saban, and this anger has not gone away. And what has always bugged him the most is the inability to control everything around him and losing players in the portal. So I think he's going to continue. I think there are some diminishing returns on continuing to repeat the same story, but I would never tell Nick Saban what or how to say something.
Exactly. I just wanted your take on it, because I do think that the really crazy carousel started with this about the time he jumped from the Dolphins to Alabama.
Yeah.
And with the contract and the money, there was a lot of coaches that started moving quickly after he got his contract.
Yeah, Gary, he was the first $4 million coach. And
yeah.
That money, listen, nobody needs to praise him any more than he's already been praised, because he's deserving of it. But the ability to be able to double and nearly triple your salary he did triple his salary. It's just pretty remarkable. I mean, think about all of us who are trying to make a living, and most people. And I'll include myself in that conversation. You're happy if your boss says, "Hey, listen, we think you did a good job, and we'll give you a cost of living increase." Nowadays, that is rare. Saban tripled his salary, and by the way, he had it in his contract that he could never be paid less. He always had to be the highest paid coach. Augie, who probably negotiated contracts like that in his career, is up next.
Stella!
I don't think Stella got that, do you?
I don't know, Paul, but you were really taken aback when you threw out the coffee cake or coffees, and she said, "I ain't got none of that stuff."
Yeah. I don't know. Do you remember the days when you dropped by your neighbor's house for coffee cake?
You know, now if somebody knocks on my door, the first thing I do is run to my room and grab a implement to make sure. You're laughing, but it's true.
I miss those days. And by the way, those days were a long time ago for me.
Long time ago. But you need to get the 12-year-old to help the octogenarians make phone calls, Paul. Because the older people get, it seems like the slower they are. They've got the TV on.
You
they
know what it reminds
what
me of, Augie? I don't know how old Stella was. Maybe close to 80, maybe older. But it reminds me of, I'm in that generation, but when you run into an elderly couple and they try to figure out how to take a selfie. I mean, you know, they pick up the camera and I would say 99% of the time, the camera's facing the wrong direction.
Well, hey, if they're not using a rotary phone, then kudos to them. But Paul,
By the way, do you think I've got this is a moneymaker? Is the dummy's guide to elderly selfies? Do you think that would make any money for me?
Hey, why not? Everybody else has a commercial on TV. You can go on AARP. You know, they sell those.
I need to have my representative talk to AARP. I could write a weekly column for their or monthly column for the magazine.
You could do it. And Paul, what is this thing you and Trey were talking about, judging people? That's all you do in the show. You judge everybody. And people
but Augie, I don't think you hear me quoting the Bible when I do judge people.
No, and then we're making affirmations here. Just for the record, I'm straight. And in my day when I preferred blondes. I don't know about you. Brunettes or blondes? Paul?
So can you confirm or deny this, Augie? And I've never asked this question before, but...
ask it.
Todd from Shelby has insinuated twice now that he is having an illicit relationship with someone close to you.
He picked up my guman. You know what that is? A guman? You watch Sopranos and you figure it out. He takes my leftovers, Paul, but it's not my wife.
Okay.
But,
okay.
But anyway, Paul, I got to say.
It's not my wife, but it's my leftovers. It's very Soprano-esque there.
That's it. The caller bracket. I think they did an excellent job. I don't think they left anybody out that shouldn't have been left out. I'm all for it. But, Paul, I'm about to go on another rant that you might want to record, as you did last year and so famously replayed.
Okay.
If you didn't notice, the LSU baseball team dropped the series to Mississippi State this weekend.
I knew they were there, Johnson, but I didn't keep up with it.
They got beat, and they got whacked the last game. And they obviously have no pitching, so I'm going to hold off because I maybe jumped the gun a little too early last year. But Jay Johnson is on a very, very thin thread. So he's pulling heat off of Brian Kelly right now. And the only thing we got
once again,
going
Augie,
for us now,
we are one series into the SEC baseball race. And
I'm already panicking.
And the defending champs and the coach of year in baseball last year is already under the gun from Augie, who's for gun control. We'll take a break. We ought to be if he has one. We'll take a short break. More to come right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Let's continue. He is in the bracket. And Dominic is up next. And Dominic, do I understand correctly? You're celebrating a birthday today?
Yes, sir. I'm the big 1-3, Paul.
Oh my goodness, you are a teenager.
Yes, sir. So over the weekend, I got to go to this mini golf place called Putt Shack. That is high-tech mini golf with all my friends.
Well, that sounds like quite a celebration.
Yeah, and guess what gifts I got?
What's that?
I got a ton of Bama gear, and I got your book, Why the SEC Still Rules College Football.
Oh, my goodness. You got one of the greatest gifts a young man could ever get.
Yes, I'm sure going to read that. And it has been a crazy weekend, too, with all these college basketball games and Wyndham Clark's putt lipping out. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I missed the golf tournament, but I saw a lot of basketball, and that is I'm appreciative of you getting the gift, the Feinbaum book. It's a little bit outdated because but the theme is still the same. The SEC reigns.
Yeah, they will. And I get to go to March Madness on Thursday and Saturday. Who do you got one in your bracket?
Well, that's
Paul?
Right. So the games are in Pittsburgh, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
So who I know NC State's up there because I have a friend that's going. Who else is up there?
There's Creighton. There's Kentucky.
Oh wow, Kentucky's there.
Yeah, Kentucky. We get to see a little Rob Dillingham magic, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that will be exciting. So, do you have any other? Is the birthday celebration pretty much over? Is there anything left?
Well, I might eat a couple more cookies tonight. You never know.
Okay. Well, Dominic, let me check the bracket here. You're up against Susie. You remember Susie? She's the one that chastised you for cursing.
For talking about phrase, I know, Paul. Yeah, I'm just trying to share.
She's tried to walk it back since then, Dominic, and I'm not telling you what to do. You're a 13-year-old, but I'm not going to let somebody walk that back, are you?
Yeah, I can't walk that back because that is what I earned, Paul. I earned those grades.
Hey, Hey, by the way, Dominic, the winner of that, assuming you get the win, you're favored, and you are a slight favorite, according to Danny Sheridan, but you're up against the winner of the two Johns games.
Oh, the two Johns. That might be the game of the century.
Yeah, no, you think you could beat that crazy John from St. Louis?
Oh, I'll beat him. He definitely needs to smell the coffee.
Well, listen, Dominic, happy birthday from all of your friends. And I want to thank you again for sending me the autographed Saban picture and then the drawing that you did. We have it hanging very prominently here.
Yeah, I got you, Paul. And as always, roll damn tide, Paul. See you later, buddy.
Dominic with his trademark. Let's grab one more call here. Jay is up next. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I want to talk baseball, but first, I'm thinking about changing positions. Did you ever play baseball, Paul?
I did, yes.
Okay. Right now, I'm a pitcher. I throw the heat, you know?
Right.
I got that down. I'm not that accurate. I don't get the results I want. I'm thinking about swapping to the catcher's mitt, Paul.
Ooh.
I feel like I'm better on my knees down there. And I don't know. It just might suit me better.
Well, I tell you what. It's a very athletic position, but I wish you well with it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.